And we're going to look this morning at Ephesians chapter 1. Again, I want to thank you for coming. We're going to read verse number 20. Let's all stand out of respect to the Word of God if you're willing and able and desire to. The Bible says this in Ephesians 1 and verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Father, I come to You this morning, Lord, as humbly as I know how, seeking and desiring Your touch and Your power upon me as I attempt to preach the Word of God. Lord, I cannot accomplish anything without Your help. But Lord, there ain't nothing can't get done with Your help. And I pray, Lord, You just fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray You clear my mind and my heart from anything that doesn't have something to do with this text today. And I pray You'd help me to preach in a clear way where anybody and everybody, when they leave, they know exactly what the message was. And if there's one lost today, I pray, Lord, they'll get saved. Lord, we know the time is drawing near to when we're going to meet You, Lord. And I pray they'd be ready before they leave today. I love You, Lord. I thank You for this church, these people. I thank You for this pulpit, this place to stand and proclaim the Word of God. Help me, Lord, to not waste this opportunity that You give me, but help me to make the most of it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We're reading here, and as I mentioned last week, we're in the conclusion or the closing of this priestly, this prayer that Paul prayed from prison. And it's amazing how Paul, the apostle, he can't help himself. Every time you read every one of these prayers he prays in the New Testament, these prison prayers, before it's over, he quits praying and asking for anything. And just goes to praising the Lord for who He is and for what He's done. I want you to know this morning that anytime we pray, we ought to offer a little bit of praise in that prayer. But it's been said that you can compare the verses we read to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, I'm not going to ask you to turn there. But in Philippians chapter 2, we see the humiliation of Jesus Christ. And that when that term is speaking of Him, God becoming a man, Jesus taking upon Himself the form of a servant. The Bible says this in Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What Paul writes about there is the coming down of Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning that in order for you to be saved, God the Son had to humble Himself and leave heaven and come down to this earth. And on His way down, He had to leave some things behind. He left behind His glory. You understand, He left behind His majesty. He left behind all the prestige of heaven. He left behind a throne where He had sat for all eternity. He left behind the Father. He left behind the angels. He left it all behind. And He took upon Himself the form of a servant. Amen. In Philippians 2, it speaks of His humiliation. And all that Jesus let go of, all that Jesus laid down to become our Savior. What we read here in Philippians chapter 1 speaks not of the humiliation of Christ, but the exaltation of Christ. Amen? If Philippians tells us of what He let go on His way down, Ephesians 1 tells us about what He took up on His way out. Amen? You see, this morning, Jesus laid a lot of things down. Jesus let a lot of things go on His way down. But I want you to know that on His way up, praise God, He took back everything that He laid down before and more. Did you know that? He took back more going up than he put down in order for him to come down. I don't know if that makes sense, y'all. I'm struggling that day. Taught Sunday school. I don't know if they even know what I still don't know if they knew what I, but it made sense to me, and I figure someone as dumb as I am, if I get it, somebody else can. All I'm saying is, in Philippians, it's talking about what Jesus laid down. What he took off. He took off his glory, and he laid it down. He took off his presence, the presence in the presence of God, and laid it down. He took off the comforts of heaven and laid it down. He took off the angels worshiping him and adoring him, and he laid it down. But praise God, on the way up, Brother Justin, he took all that back and more. You said, what else did he take with him? He took us. Amen. He took a body to go back to heaven with him. In verse number 21, far above all, I'm just going to leave this off. Far above all. That's the message this morning. Far now, and Miss Kim didn't know what I was going to preach on, but it goes right along with what I'm going to preach on. Far above all. Paul said he's above all. Now I want you to know that, as I said in Philippians chapter 1, or chapter 2, that he went lower than any man ever had to go. You say, how far? The Bible says he went down into hell and he preached unto the spirits in prison, and he preached unto them and led captivity captive. And now, I don't want to get into that death. We know in the Old Testament we had Hades, the grave. You had paradise on one side. You had hell on the other, a great gulf fixed. I don't believe Jesus burned in the fire hell. I believe he went down there and he preached unto Abraham. He preached unto them. He preached unto them his resurrection. Amen. Yeah. And when he walked out with them. But all I'm saying is, nobody ever went as low as he went. Amen. But praise God, nobody has ever gone as high.
That's right.
Paul said he's above all.
Hey.
He's above all. He's above me. He's above you. He's above everyone else. He says God has exalted him above all. And I want you to know, I'm glad I serve a risen Savior who's above all. He's above all government. He's above all people. Paul said he's above them all.
Hey.
He's the best. Amen. He's higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. Paul had been in the presence of some of the greatest people in the world. Paul spoke to men that were leaders, men that had power, men that were influential. Paul had walked in places like Rome and Athens, Greece. But after all he had seen and after all he had heard, he said, I want you people down there at Ephesus to know this. Even though I'm down here in this prison, even though I'm locked up, I'm not going to turn my back on him now. It's not changed one thing. He said, it's not changed the fact that my Savior is still far above all.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad this morning we've got a superior Savior, a preeminent Savior, a Savior that's like no other, a Savior that is exalted by God the Father. Thank God we're not peddling or promoting some little Jesus or some little Savior. We're promoting a big Savior. Amen. I'm talking about the greatest there's ever been and the greatest there ever will be. You know, I've always been interested in like records, you know, like sports records. Me and my daddy went and watched Cal Ripken play. My opinion, this is again, I know some people get offended by this, but I'm going to, the Apostle Paul talked about sports and when he was writing, so I'm going to allude to it. In my opinion, the greatest record in all sports record is Cal Ripken's record for playing in the most consecutive games, like over 3,000 in a row, not missing a game. That's amazing. These ball players today, they need a day off for every other day.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I got a hyperextended toenail. I'm only making $13 million. I need to go get, you know what I'm saying? But anyhow, but Brother Larry, me and my daddy went and watched Cal Ripken play in that year. And I remember as a little boy, I thought, this is amazing. Then we went and watched Mark Ripken. Even though he had some help in breaking the record, amen, we all know that. He went to the vet, you know, he got him some steroids. But anyhow, we know, but I want to tell you something. As a 12, 13-year-old boy standing in Turner Field watching him hit them 500 foot, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But you know the only bad thing about people breaking records? Somebody else is going to break that record. There's a girl that helps Ginger. She's from Marshall County, Abby Fessinger. She's played softball over there at Marshall County. Then she went down to Carson Newman College, and she needed like 8 home runs to break the record all time for the school as far as home runs. And she quit after COVID. You know, she lost her senior year, and they told her, they said, you can come back. And she said, I'm done. I just want to get into my life. And she told me this. She said, her coach told her, said, don't you want to break the record? She said, why? She said, somebody's just going to break it again.
Yeah.
But I want you to know one record that ain't never going to be broken. And this is the fact that Jesus Christ is far above all.
Amen.
Amen. Nobody's ever going to climb high enough. Nobody's ever going to be able to go far enough to get far above him.
Amen.
Because he's far above all.
Right. Yeah.
I want you to see this morning. We'll be done. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He's far above all. First of all, because of the power of his resurrection. Amen. Thank God we serve a risen Savior. Amen.
Amen.
He's alive. Y'all, are y'all alive?
Yeah.
He's alive. Amen. Praise God. Paul said he's a far above all because he has been raised from the dead.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Romans 1:4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Amen. I feel like, I think every Baptist church ought to have that on the wall. Lively hope. Amen. Lively hope. Amen. We have a lively hope, not a dead hope. He said a lively hope up by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you said, Paul, why is he above all? Because of the power of his resurrection. Amen. There's nobody that ever lived like him. Amen. There's nobody ever lived like him. Nobody's ever born like he was born. I mean, he was born to a virgin mother. He was born to a virgin. Nobody's ever born like him. Nobody ever lived like him. I mean, 33 and a half years, holy, harmless, sinless, spotless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He never sinned. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. The devils couldn't find fault in him. He was holy. He never thought of sin. The Bible says that he can be, that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, he that knew no sin became sin for us. He was holy. He lived a life like nobody ever lived. He was born like nobody's ever born. He died like nobody ever died.
Amen.
You said, but Brother Martin, many people were crucified, not like he died. You see, the men that died on those crosses died for their sins. But he died on his cross for my sins.
Hey.
Amen.
Hey.
My sins. He died for my sins. He was born like nobody's ever born. He lived like nobody ever lived. He died like nobody died. But praise God, that ain't the end of the story.
Hey.
Amen. I mean, listen, they took him, the Lamb of God, the darling Lamb of God, the Prince of Glory. They took him from Gethsemane. They took him down there to Pilate's hall. They falsely accused him. They lied about him. But yet he didn't say a word. Why did he do that? To fulfill the scripture. As a lamb before his shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. They began to beat him. One of the greatest contradictory statements in the Word of God. Pilate said, I found no fault in him. Go ahead and whip him, boys. Crucify him. Oh, listen, they took him and laid him over that whipping post and tied his hands to his feet, stripped his garments off of his back, gambled upon his garments, took the cat of nine tails, and hit his back 30. 39 times. Hey, you do the math. If you want 39 times 9, 270, 333, I think that's what it is. But Brother Justin, 333 stripes on his back. And the Old Testament said, and the pliers plowed my back, and they made their furs long, and they ripped the flesh off of his back. Brother David, and they put a bag on his head and punched him in the face and said, prophesy, prophesying us, but he didn't say a word. You don't know why? He didn't have a date in Pilate's Hall. He had a date on Calvary's Hill. Amen. Oh, and listen, they took him from there. If that was not enough, and they took a crown of thorns and they placed it on his head, and the soldiers took a reed and mashed it down into his precious head. Amen. And blood ran down his brow, and they took him up to the cross, to Calvary, and made him carry his own cross, and laid him on that cross, and took out those spikes and drove them in his hands and his feet, lifted him up between heaven and earth, dropped him in the ground. Every joint in his body was disjointed. The Bible says his visage was marred above that of a man. You couldn't even recognize he was a man. I mean, you couldn't even recognize he was a human being. Oh, and after that long agonizing day, at midday it become midnight, and Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the stars turned dark, and the sun went black. I believe the birds of the air stopped singing. I believe the children stopped playing. Why is that? Because on that cross, God, I was doing business with his son. And Jesus, after those 3 hours, he lifted up his voice. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. And Nicodemus, they come, Joseph of Arimathea, they come and they took that body. Think about that body. How heartbreaking must that have been? And they looked upon him. That was the one that walked on water. That was the one that had raised the dead. That was the one they seen feed 5,000. That was the one, but now he's dead. And old blood was covering him from head to toe. His face all disfigured, his back disfigured. They cleaned him up the best they could. They anointed that body with spices. They wrapped him in them burial clothes. And heartbroken, they carried him and laid him in that tomb. And then the soldiers rolled a stone upon it, and they sealed it with the seal of Caesar. They put two soldiers there to stand and watch for 3 days and 3 nights. And that body lay cold, and life was in that grave. And on the outside, them soldiers, I can imagine them saying, phew, I'll be glad when this 3 days is over. They probably said, this is the biggest joke you've ever. They think, why are we here? Who ever heard of guarding a tomb with a dead man in there? People don't come out of them things. They go in not to come out. Drew, they sat there for 3 days and 3 nights laughing. They probably tell each other, boy, I can't wait this over. I want to go fishing down there on the Sea of Galilee. Or maybe I'm going to do this. Or maybe I'm going to do that. And they had all their plans together. They had all their ideas together. But on that third and appointed day, amen, inside of that cold, dark grave, something happened. And by the way, corruption never entered into that body. I mean, supernaturally, Brother Larry, that body stayed just as it was. But 3 days and 3 nights, something happened in there. And the life of God come back in that body. And them eyes open, praise God. He got up and laid the grave clothes down. And them saw, it was a thundering going on, an earthquake going on. Amen. Why was that? The Rock of Ages had just woke up. Amen. And then he walked out, and then the old soldiers laid there shaking on the ground. All I'm saying is he's above all because of the power of his resurrection. Amen. You see, in the business world, there's much debate about the greatest of all time. These kids call it the goat. That ain't talking about what the Amish has got. The goat. Who's the goat? Some of these boys are so foolish to think basketball. LeBron James. I'll tell y'all something about LeBron. He couldn't tie Michael Jordan's shoes. Come at me, bro. That's how they talk. In business, there's a lot of debate. You ask somebody, they'll say Henry Ford. You ask another, they'd say John Rockefeller. You ask another, they'd say Bill Gates. He is good at making money. I'll give him that. going to be nice this morning. I mean, I'm going to be nice. However he can make it, he'll make it. But anyway, we could all name Steve Jobs. They're just on and on. There's a lot of debate. In the scientific world, there's a lot of debate. Who was the greatest scientist? Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein, Newton, you know, Aristotle. Ever heard of him? In the political world, there could be debate. Napoleon, Reagan, Lincoln, Washington, Churchill, others. In the athletic world, there's debate. Who's the greatest of all time? Michael Jordan, praise God. I put him first for a reason. Ali, Muhammad Ali, Tiger Woods, Usain Bolt. I mean, you could go on and on. It's endless debate. In the artistic world, there's much debate on who is the greatest artist. Da Vinci, Van Gogh, Rembrandt, Michelangelo. I mean, you could just go, we could go on and on and on. Some of you men have been debating with your wife about who cooked better, her or your mother, for all these years. You're not supposed to argue with your wife about it. But I want you to know, in one world, there's no debate. You want me to tell you what world that is? The resurrection world.
Amen.
Amen. There's no debating who the greatest is when it comes to that. You say, why is that? There's only one person who ever was raised like Jesus. You say, oh, Brother Martin, in the Old Testament, there was people that got, they died. And in the New Testament, oh yeah, there were, but guess what? Every one of them died again. Every one of them. The widow servant, her son died again. I mean, listen, I could go on and on and on. Oh, Lazarus, guess what? He died again. Revelations 1:18, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Why is he far above all in his resurrection power? Because he was raised never to die again. Now, y'all stay calm and orderly. But if you're saved, that same power that raised him from the dead is in you. In verse 19, and what is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, which when he raised him from the dead. Amen. Listen to me, the world's not going to hold us here forever. And praise God, the grave's not the final destination for the child of God. And listen to me, the same power that brought Jesus to life is going to bring us to life one day. He's far above all because of his power of his resurrection. Verse 20, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He's far above all because of the position he has at the right hand of the Father. Far above all. You see, I'm going to wind this up. I got to get somewhere, get to the end. There's only one person seated at the right hand, and it ain't you. Sometimes we act like we think it's us, but it ain't us. It's Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. If you and I could by faith go into the presence of God right now, we would understand that there's untold millions that are there. Amen. I know some that are there. Every day that I live, there's somebody else that I know that's there. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's millions upon millions right now. Think about it, in the presence of God. All around the throne, worshiping Him, blessing His name, praising Him, enjoying the glory and the beauty of heaven. There's untold millions of cherubims and seraphims flying around the throne and singing praise to God and saying, holy, holy, holy. At the four corners of that throne, those four beasts are there to guard that throne. But I've got news for you. There's only one that sits at the right hand of that throne, and it's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen. And that's why he's far above all, because he's seated at the right hand. There's a multitude of scriptures about this, but I'm going to go on. This shows his peace that he has. The Bible says he sat. There's only one time we know that he stood since he sat on that throne. That's when old Stephen was being martyred, stoned. And he looked up to heaven and he said, I see the Son of God standing on the right hand. Think about this. Jesus gave old Stephen a standing ovation.
Amen.
Amen. Brother David, as far as we know, other than that one event, he's been seated on that throne. Y'all, I want you to know this morning, you may be worried about everything going on, and I may be worried, and I promise you, I do enough worrying for everybody in the room. I've worried about things I can't fix, and that's detrimental to me. It's detrimental to everybody else. I'm trying to get over it. I'm trying to get it fixed. I'm trying to get victory over it, but I'm just being honest with you. But I got news for you this morning. Jesus ain't worried about none of it. He's not up in heaven saying, oh, my. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to fix it? How are we going to get things right? Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that so-and-so is the president. Or I can't believe that this happened. And I can't believe that. Oh, no. He's seated. You know what that means? Is he's calm. What I'm saying is he's not disturbed. He's not anxious. He's not wondering what's going to happen. He ain't up there having a nervous fit looking for a pill or a drink or nothing like that. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because all things are below him. Amen. He's far above it all. And listen, I'm glad that, praise God, he's in control. He's in control. The right hand speaks of authority and power. And that's where God put him. He said, you do as you please. Amen. That's why it's far above all, because there ain't nobody else at the right hand of the Father but Jesus. Jesus has the power to help us in every situation in our life because of where he's seated. All he's got to do is lean over to his Father. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You take it however you take it. You preach it however you want to preach it when you preach it. But the way I look at it is, if he's making intercession for us, he's praying for us, Brother Mark, he's seated at the right hand, and all he's doing is just talking to the Father about us.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Hey.
I'm glad somebody's praying for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I thank God for people praying for me here, but I'm glad that there may not be nobody praying for me down here, but I know there's one that's praying for me up there. And you may be having a hard time right now. You may be hurting right now. Your family may be torn apart right now. But I want you to know, if you're his and he's yours and you're a child of God, that this morning before you ever woke up, he leaned over to the Father. He said, oh God, they're having a hard time. Give them a little grace. Give them a little mercy. Give them a little help. Help them. Give them what they need at the right hand. You see, if you're saved, guess what? You've got connections.
That's right.
You know all these lobbyists up there in Washington? You know, they make all that money to try to get their these. I mean, it's crooked. They're all crooked. The donkeys, the elephants, and everything in between.
Yeah, that's right.
I think they all do away with the elephant and just label them all donkeys. That's the way they act. But anyhow, they're up there lobbying. I was talking to somebody. I said, who in the world come up with this idea to choke these diesel motors down? Hey, I got an idea. Let's make this diesel motor that needs to breathe, let's make it not breathe. Can you imagine trying to work your job with somebody head job thing like that? Can you imagine? That's what they done. You know why they come up with that? It wasn't to save the owls and the ozone layer.
Right.
Because some little cross-eyed, crooked lobbyist from some company that makes them things went into some politician and said, hey, we're going to do this under the guise of EPA. And if you get it passed, we got some money for you. And your family got some money. We're going to help you. We're going to hook you up. Just get it done. And then they passed it on. And lo and behold, here we are. Somebody somewhere got rich off that deal, I promise you. But Brother Larry, if I were to try to lobby for something, I wouldn't even know where to start. What would I tell them? All right, I got a 2002 4Runner. With about $300,000, I'll give you. If you know what I'm saying, they're gonna laugh at me. I mean, you gotta have, you know what I'm saying? You gotta have moldy money to do stuff. You gotta have money that's molded. It's so old. I'm talking about that old money. You gotta have that old crusty money if you want to get something done up there. None of us have gotten. We can't get nothing done in Washington. We can't. Who are you gonna call? How are you gonna get it done? Oh, but praise God, we may not can get nothing down here, but I know where I can get something done. Amen. Yeah. Way up there, far above all, at the right hand of the Father. All I've gotta do is get on my knees. Jesus said, "Seek and you shall find." God. Amen. Knock and it shall be open. He said, ask, seek, knock. And listen, he said, I'll give it unto you. Amen. All I'm saying is, praise God, he's far above all because of his right hand position.
Amen.
We ain't got to try to politic. We ain't got to try to compromise. That's why I look at these preachers, I'm like, why are you selling out? Why sell out? I know they're never going to invite me to the Rotary Club. I'm bitter about that still. They're not going to give me the certificate of the greatest nonprofit. They're not going to do that. Amen.
Yeah.
Maybe if we quit doing the live stream and records, they might. If they don't know, but after that, they're not going to. But Brother Justin, I ain't worried about what the Rotary Club does. They keep their little blue ribbons and their little plaques and trophies, amen?
Yeah.
I don't need their influence, and praise God, I'm not going to lend them my influence, and we shouldn't either. But hey, man, I didn't know, I thought this was going to be terrible when I studied this morning, but this is getting better as farther I go. I'm glad that this morning at the right hand of the Father, amen, I've got influence in heaven.
He said, well, I know somebody.
Praise God, I know somebody too.
Yeah.
His name's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't know the guy I know. You don't know the guy I know if you're talking like that.
Yeah.
You don't know him like I know him. You said, Brother Martin, what about this? What about that? Let me just tell you something. I can get on my knees anytime, anywhere. Like the old song says, I can call Jesus anytime. Oh, yes. And I can get on my knees. I can say, oh, Jesus, I'm in a mess. I'm in a mess. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to answer that. I don't know what. How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get through this? And way up in heaven, amen, them old prayer bells will go to ringing. And Jesus says, well, Lord, he needs help. Give him help. And the help is on the way. Thank God for that. You can have Buddha. You can have Muhammad. You can have all these other false gods. I'll take Jesus.
Amen.
He's far above all. Verse 21. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name of his name. Not only in this world, but also now just come. He's far above all. We see the prestige of his rule. I'm going to give you this because I'm about out of wind. And I got to get a good fall festival sermon done in 3 hours and a half. Principalities, power, might, dominion. Let me tell you that. Book of Revelation 12 teaches us that when Satan fell, sin did not begin on earth. It began in heaven. And the Bible teaches us that when Lucifer fell from heaven, a third of the angels fell with him. And these power and mights and dominions, principalities, it's talking about these evil spirits that are the agents of Satan. But they're no match for Jesus Christ. They may torment us, but they can't touch him. You know, and I'm concluding. Satan has already lost. By the way, Satan's done looked at the scoreboard. He knows he's done. He's a defeated foe. All he can do now is act like he's winning. And he does a good job. Has anybody ever thought, man? Maybe I'm the only one. It sure looks like the devil's winning. Guess what? He's just putting on a good show. He ain't won. He's lost.
Right.
You ever been watching? I was watching yesterday as Georgia just stomped the guts out of the Florida Gators. Amen, Miss Shelby? I mean, just stomped the guts. What are you laughing at, Brother Hunter? Y'all are next, buddy. Brother Mark, we was just stomping their guts out. And I mean, it's like 34-7, 34-0, I believe, at the time. And this boy from Florida, he ain't done nothing all day. I mean, he ain't done nothing. I mean, he just, when Georgia's running backs come to, he just dodge them, you know. He looked like he was something. He had them armbands and them sleeves, you know. Had the tape around, they put that tape around their face mask. He had on a shield. I mean, he was swagging out there, you know what I mean? He had his, and this boy from Georgia was running out of bounds, and he let up, and he come through there and just decked him, you know, just laid him out. And that boy from Florida got up. How they run. Come here, Drew. Let's show them. Okay, you ready? Ooh, yeah, they's doing that. Come here, Ginger. Let's do our high five. No, I'm just kidding. I ain't going to make it to that unit address. But, and you know what? I've seen the Georgia boy do. It was so funny. He went. You know what he done? He pointed at the scoreboard. Now listen, the preacher's always preaching, and he's always, and I thought, that reminds me of something. You know what the devil's doing around us right now? Yeah. Look at, well, I'm winning. But you know what we all do? We all just point at the scoreboard. Yeah. Hey. So, hey, you might have got a good lick on me. You might have knocked my mouthpiece out. You may have hurt me a little bit. I may be down, devil, but guess God, I can see the scoreboard. I know, amen, I can see the scoreboard. I've done looked over here to Revelations. I've done seen the score. And guess what? We're going to win. Amen. He might bruise us and he might beat us and he might hurt us. But praise God, we've got a Savior who's far above all. Amen. That goes for them devils too. Amen. Put all things under his feet. The people that he's redeemed. He's talking about his church, his body. Notice his bloody feet. Those feet, now follow me, I'm done. Because we got a chili eating contest, or cooking, and I've got to get rested up for that. But, them feet. What did John see in Revelations 1 when he saw his feet? He said they're like fire. And brass. Hebrews 1, I believe it's verse 13, somewhere along there. He said that one day God's going to make his enemies his footstool. Them feet for the unbeliever are going to be a place of wrath. One day, them bloody feet, by the way, them ones they stuck nails in, Jesus is going to put his foot on the throat of his enemies.
That's right.
The same ones that pierced them feet, he's going to take and going to put his foot on their neck in victory. Y'all seen them old, you know, knights, and when they stick their foot on the... That's what David did to Goliath and his brothers too. He put his foot on and cut his head off. And listen, them feet are feet of wrath. Listen to me. Right now is what we call in the Bible the day of grace. And we should be glad it is, or none of us will be saved. Amen. Romans 5:20, moreover, when the law enters, sin abounded, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Yeah.
The day of grace. But I got news for you. It's not always going to be the day of grace.
Amen.
Amen. Because it's the day of grace right now, God is restraining his wrath. God, have you ever said, why is God not bringing down wrath on this world? Why is God not judging this world? I want you to know it's because it's not time yet.
Right.
Because this is a day of grace. How could God not send 12 legions of angels to rescue his son off the cross? You want to know why? The day of grace is not a day of retribution. It's a day of redemption. It's not a time of wrath. It's a time of mercy. And right now, God's holding back his wrath. But I've got news. This day of grace is almost over. It's almost over.
That's right, right.
And then it's going to be the day of man. It's going to end. But praise God, there's going to be another day. It's called the day of Christ. And when the day of Christ comes through, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that he is Lord. And at that day, the Son of God, praise God, is going to take his feet, put it on the necks of every one of his enemies.
That's right.
And right then we can say, hallelujah, we won. We knew we was going to win, but praise God, it feels a lot better now. We can actually see we won. It's over, amen. Amen. You say you got all the faith you want, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to look around and say, whoo,
yeah.
Praise God. It was true, amen. I knew it was, but man, when my faith becomes sound, it's going to be wonderful.
Amen.
He's the head over all things, the church. Which is his body, the fullness of the hall. There's a lot of organizations, a lot of good, you know, people groups in the world, but the body of Christ is far above all of them. Why? Because of our head. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
The head is where the dignity of the body is. And it's also where the directions of the body come from.
That thing's been hanging by a thread all service. I don't know why it got like that. But I want to ask you something. What good is a body without a head?
It ain't no good.
But what good is a head without a body? Now, are you going to look at me funny? And I'm just going to act like I don't see. I'm going to look straight through the back door. This is what he's saying. He's saying that Jesus fulfills us. He fills us, completes us. Without him, we're nothing. But it also says that we complete him. When God, you read it, hey, you can twist it all you want, but I want to encourage you, don't rest with the scriptures to your own destruction. The Bible says that his body is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We're his fullness.
Right.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But all I know, Brother David, is when God formed Adam out of the dirt, out of the clay of the ground, and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And he reached into the side of Adam and brought out a rib, and he made a bride for his bride for Adam. I believe he was thinking about another bride. Amen.
Yeah.
I think he was thinking about another body. And listen to me. All I'm saying is he's far below because of the people of his redemption. Isn't that a miracle? I know we say it and we believe it and we know it. We're sinners. That's all we are. Sinners saved by grace. But I want you to know when you were saved by that grace and that blood covered your sins and washed them away, and the Holy Ghost of God indwelt you and quickened you and made you alive in Christ, and when the Holy Ghost baptized you and you become a part of Christ and Christ become a part of you, you become something special. In the mind and in the heart of God.
Amen.
All because he's far above all.